gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For though this loving Son, the Father, makes us one, come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the
morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, there is no greater joy than coming together in your house, and especially on this day where we celebrate communion. Please be with us as we do this, and of course, this is also our time to return a portion of the gifts that you've so graciously given us. Please bless these and the giver, and we ask your most gracious name. Amen.
There we go. Thank you. From time to time, we'd like to present to you a new song. We want you to listen to the melody, and you can follow along the words because they're going to be on the screen. You're welcome. If you know the song, you can join in, sing with us. I'm very fond of Keith and Kristen Getty. Those of you know who they are. They're a couple originally from Ireland, but they reside in Nashville, Tennessee now. And they write what's called New Hymns for the Church. These are modern songs, and yet they have very deep and rich meaning in the verses. And this is one that came out just a couple years ago called The Lord is My Salvation.
The grace of God has reached for me and pulled me from the raging sea, and I am safe on this solid ground. The Lord is my salvation. Strength will help me scale these walls. I'll see the dawn of the rising sun. The Lord is my salvation. Who is like the Lord our God? Strong to my salvation. when I reach the final day. He will not leave me in the grave, but I will rise. He will call me home. The Lord is my salvation. Who is like the Lord our God, strong to
thank you, Todd and choir. We were definitely very blessed this morning to have that time of worship. Is the Lord your salvation this morning? And if he isn't, hopefully by the end of this service, he will be. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'd encourage you to go ahead and turn into the scriptures, Matthew chapter 13. As I was putting together this sermon, I read through some things about in this passage that spoke out to me, offended me in a sense, and it offended me to the point where I realized that my offense wasn't coming because of what God's word was saying. My feeling of offense was coming by what I wasn't doing. And so many of us are very familiar with this passage of Scripture. It's the parable of the sower. Now, I've heard some passages of Scripture. I've heard some sermons about this passage of Scripture. We always talk about the seeds. We talk about the sower. But today, I'm going to take a different approach to this passage. And I'm excited to have you here this morning as we dive into God's Word. We're going to actually start out in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, other seeds fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Verse 10, then the disciples came to him. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they see, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you'll indeed hear, but you will never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. Jump down to verse 18 for me. He continues to say this, and hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Verse 22, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understand it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case a hundredfold, in another 60, and in another 30. Let us pray. Father God, it is good to be in your house today. And God, I thank you for the opportunity that you have granted all of us to come and to be a part of your kingdom work. Now God, I pray as we approach the scripture, God, that we may do so with a reverence. God, that you would hide me behind the cross, that you would hold my tongue and speak through me. God, I thank you for this time, in Jesus' name. So this is a parable I think all of us are very familiar with. And Jesus is very adamant when he says, when the disciples come in and say, why do you teach them in parables? Why do you teach them in stories? And Jesus said, hey, you know what? This is what they understand. And back then in Jesus' time, sowing the ground and planting seeds so that, you know, the wheat would grow, that things would grow to keep, for people to grow food, that was very familiar to the people at that time. A farmer sowing seeds was something that they were very much familiar with. But I don't want to necessarily focus too much on the seeds, but I just want to bring up three quick points about the seeds, and then we're going to actually turn to another aspect of this passage of Scripture. So as Jesus laid out here, some seeds would land on the road, some seeds would land on rocks or weeds, some would land on thorns, and then some would land on soil. So what is the meaning of this passage? How do we approach this? How do we understand this? Because to be honest with you, when I'm thinking about someone sowing seeds, I'm thinking about someone, you know, with a big old bag of seeds, you know, on their side, and they're going out in the field, they're just throwing seeds out. You know, that's what I'm thinking of. But I think that we need to take a different approach to this story. In fact, this was a different approach that I myself, when I stepped back and I was pondering and meditating over this passage of Scripture, I thought, you know, I wonder how many sermons are done on the soil. I wonder how many sermons are done on the soil. So we're going to actually talk about the soil. Now, Brother Jim here, you've planted things before, right? So there are some things that you have to do to get ready to plant whatever you're planting, right? You got to till up the ground. You got to make sure that the ground is nice and soft. And then you got to go and plant the seed in and water it and make sure it grows, correct? Right. So those are all steps that are taken when you're planting something. I'm assuming that everyone is familiar with planting things, correct? Everyone in here is pretty familiar with that, okay? So when I was growing up, I had the opportunity to, as a young teenager, to work with the youth pastor whose church I was part of, and he did landscaping. And man, I love landscaping. I don't know about you guys, but there is something about getting outside, getting dirty and sweaty, and for some weird reason, that to me is very appealing. In fact, we did that a couple months back with our students over at Miss Elizabeth Smith's house. And man, I tell you, I love landscaping. The idea of getting out in the dirt getting dirty and getting sweaty and looking back at the hard work that you did after all that long time, that to me is fun. Now, for some of you, that may not sound as much fun. But with all that being said, the landscaper that I worked with, he was very meticulous about going back to the properties that he did to make sure that everything still looked okay. He would water the plants. He would check to make sure everything was okay. He was very, very meticulous. But we're going to actually talk about the soils this morning. So one of the first things that we're going to talk about is the hard soil. Now, the hard soil represents people that hear the word, don't understand it, and reject it right away. Have you ever met someone who just let you talk to them about Christianity and they had just a blank look on their face? I have. Awkward conversation. Like the soil, their hearts are hardened to the message of God's word. Then we're talking about the rocky soil. These are the people that are excited about the gospel, but their excitement doesn't last very long, and soon they revert back to their old ways. I remember, once again, you know, when I was growing up, we used to go to, our youth group used to go to what we like to call Dare to Share conferences. And I love the Dare to Share conferences. To me, they were a blast. Because we got to hear some really good speakers, and we got to hear some really good worship, and we got fired up for the week, and it was all awesome. And then we would come back, and within 1 week's time frame, that excitement was gone. That excitement was gone. And then the Bible talks about this thing called the good soil. These represent people that are excited about God's word. They respond to it, and their faith grows and grows. So I have a question for Chestnut Hill Baptist Church, and as many of you who already know who I am, I usually ask questions. I don't ask questions that I haven't already asked myself. And my question to you today is, what type of soil are you? What type of soil are you? And I'm not talking about, well, Mark, I'm that type of soil that you get off of the shelf at Walmart that's got all those ingredients in it. I'm not talking about that. What type of soil are you? When you hear God's word, does God's word excite you to the point where you actually want to dive into it every single day? Or are you that type of soil that when you hear God's word, you're like, ugh, I got to read the Bible again? I got to spend time with God again. What type of soil are you? If I can be really honest with you, I think I started out with being the hard soil. I grew up in a Christian family. I knew who Jesus was. I knew that he died and rose from the grave. I knew all of that. Was in church every single time the doors were open. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But I was the hard soil starting out. And then eventually I started, you know, kind of pondering about this thing called, you know, the gospel, being a Christian. And so eventually I was like, you know what, you know, I think I'm going to accept this. I think I'm going to be okay with accepting this Jesus that people talk about. And I started becoming like the rocky soil. I would go to these Dare to Share conferences, and I would get all excited about, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to go win people to Christ, and it's going to be awesome, and people are going to get saved right and left, and I tell you, I'm going to be on fire for the kingdom. And within a week's time, that excitement was gone. But eventually, I finally got to the point where I became the good soil. I can't help. I can't stop being excited about what God is doing in my life personally. You know, many of you know that I work for Liberty University online as an admissions specialist. And I cannot begin, actually a friend of mine were talking about this yesterday, but I cannot begin to tell you how many conversations that I've had with people just about God. The conversations that literally end up lasting quite a bit of time. And I think that as Christ believers, we want to be the good soil. We want to be in that position that when God's word hits us, it cultivates inside of us. It becomes a lifestyle. But to be very honest with you, if I could be really honest with the church today, I don't think that there's a lot of people that can say that they are the good soil. If you are being really honest with yourself, there are days I wake up and I'm the hard soil. I don't want to go get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and open up God's word and lose a whole hour of sleep. Why would I want to do that? And then there are days where I'm actually like the rocky soil. I get up, I'm excited about this, and life is going to be great, and I'm on fire for the Lord, and within a couple hours, I'm just exhausted. But then there are days that I wake up and I'm just like, man, this book is awesome. This book is life-changing. In fact, it's so life-changing that I want to be able to tell everybody about it. What soil are you? I think a lot of us would like to say, Mark, I'm the good soil. Whenever God's word hits me, it gets me in the fields, and I'm all about it. I will get up and I will go out, grab my morning coffee, and I will hit the streets and I'll tell everyone about who Jesus is. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that I truly believe that our church today is in crisis. Crisis because people like you and I who call ourselves Christ followers are not cultivating a life completely after Jesus Christ. And I see it all around me. And it breaks my heart because I'm one of those people. Yes, I may be the student pastor for Chestnut Hill Baptist Church, and yes, I may say that I'm a Christian, but if what I say does not match up with my actions, if what I believe does not match up with my actions, if I sit up here today and say, I am excited about God's word, but yet tomorrow I show no excitement whatsoever, what good is this book to me? Church, are you getting up every day? Are you intentionally getting into God's word every day? Are you intentionally seeking God's face every single day? And if not, what can you do to get there? This is the seed. This is your manual every single day you get up. This is your marching orders right here. Are you getting your orders? Are you cultivating that relationship between you and Jesus Christ? Or is coming to church as part of your spiritual grocery list for Sunday? Because it used to be mine. So what now? What do we do? What do we do with all this? I understand that being a Christ follower is hard. It's very hard. Especially in the time and the culture that we live in now. We've got so many distractions around us. We've got technology. We've got politics. We've got everything under the sun that you can think of distracting us from being who Christ has called us to be. And I understand. I get it. I live it. So what do we do? First and foremost, we need to understand that there will be people in your life that are ready to hear the word, but they're not ready to accept it. I could sit down all day with someone who is not a Christ follower, and they can sit there and they can listen to everything I say, but they're not ready to accept it. Be okay with that. If what you do is sit down and you share the gospel with them unbiasedly, and you show them God's love, and you do it in a way that brings God glory, that's the best that you can do. Now it's up to them. Because I think that sometimes we put so much weight on this idea that oh man, I gotta go change them. I gotta go save them. Guess what? You can't save anyone. You can't save anyone. You can't change anyone either, by the way. We think we can. But guess what? We're not God. I thank God for that too, by the way. We're not God. And we never will be God. God is God. And I am not. God looked at you and I and he said, you know what? Even though they are living in sin, even though sin has enveloped the creation that I have made, I love them enough that I'm willing to give up everything that I have to ensure that they have that option of having a relationship with me. To me, that's pretty incredible. I was just telling our students just a couple weeks ago that the same God that formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, that same God that literally spoke the world into existence just by speaking, is the same God that we have access to today. Do you all understand that? Do you all grasp that concept? That blows my mind to think that the God of the universe that spoke life into existence, that created Adam, breathed his spirit into Adam, turned around, knocked Adam out, pulled a rib out of him, and made woman, is the same God that we have access to today. We have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we can't change people. However, there will be people in your life that will come in that will be excited about the Lord. Latch on to those people. You know, Laura will tell you that when a friend of mine, Jonathan, I think I've mentioned him a couple times before. Jonathan and I, we used to work at the Old Forest Road Walmart together. And he was my supervisor, and I was a cashier. Jonathan and I, when we get together, things get crazy. Because what brought our friendship together, we've been friends for almost 7 years. But what brought our friendship together is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Laura will get mad at us sometimes because we'll be sitting in there in our living room at home. Jonathan will come over. And we'll get so excited about talking about God that we get loud. Really loud. And it'll be right in the middle of when she's trying to put the baby to sleep or get the baby to sleep. And she'll be like, guys, can you just quiet down over there? Do you have those types of people in your life? Do you have that type of person when they come and they start talking to you about what God is doing? Do you get excited with them? Do you feel that excitement off of them? What type of soil are you? Do you allow God's word to change your life? Do you allow God to come in and literally rearrange who you are? Because if not, this sermon means nothing to you. I am literally a banging gong. Literally. And I have literally had to look at myself and say, Mark, why do you believe in this? Identify what type of soil you are. If you're anything outside of the good soil, what needs to change to get you to the good soil? What needs to change? And are you willing to allow that change to happen? Are you willing? Because here's the thing. God's never going to come to you and force you to believe in who he is. Let me make that very clear. God will never come and say, I will make you believe in me. Mm-mm, that's not how God works. But our sin blinds us to the point where we don't see God for who he is because we're so blinded by sin. So what are you going to do to get from that soil that you have claimed to be, if it's anything outside of the good soil, what are you going to do to get to the good soil? And are you willing to go through what needs to be done to get to that good soil? Because here's the thing, okay? What we're doing right now is an equipping. Well, Mark, I thought I was just coming to church for another social gathering. No. This is called an equipping. Because guess what? When you step outside of these walls, that's when the real work starts. That's when your relationship with Jesus Christ kicks into high gear. So what type of soil are you? I'd like to ask for our deacons to go ahead and come on up as we approach the table this morning. What type of soil are you? That's a hard question to ask. I know that there have been times in my life when I've not been the good soil, and I've had to go back to the Lord, and I've had to ask Him for help. Have you taken time to talk to God today? Have you taken time to cultivate that relationship between you and the Most High? And if not, what are you going to do to get there? Let's bow in prayer. Father God, I thank you for today. God, it's easy for us as Christians to blatantly look at your word and not allow it to change our lives. But God, I would pray that today would be a day that we change that. Not just for our sake, but God, that we would change for the sake of pointing people to you. God, as we approach your table this morning, God, I would pray that if there is someone here today that does not know who you are, God, I pray that today would be a day that they would come to know who you are. Not because of anything I've said, not because of the music, not because of the things of the service, but God, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for this time that we have had. God, I ask that you would prepare our hearts as we approach your table in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we approach the table this morning, a few things I just want to very quickly mention. You're going to receive two cups, okay? One of them is going to have the juice and one of them is going to have the bread. I specifically was told to mention that. And then the other thing is, and this is extremely important, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, please let the plate go by. Okay, the Bible was very, very specific of approaching the table in an unworthy manner. Please let the plate go by. There's no judgment here. In fact, the Bible specifically says that the man who takes from the table in an unworthy manner actually drinks judgment upon himself. So if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, please let the plate go by. But for those who have, I would like for you just to bow your head and just start talking with the Lord. Start preparing your heart. This is a very, very serious time. Now remember, the elements of communion do not save you. The elements of communion do not guarantee a ticket into heaven, okay? Elements of communion are there for us to remember what Christ has done for us on the cross.
Thank you.
Scripture says, "For I have received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. On this, do in remembrance of me.'" In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." I'm going to have Brother Todd come up and close us out in our closing hymn. If you are here today and you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior and you would like to talk with one of our pastors about it, I'll be up here. Our pastor will be up here. We would love to sit down and talk with you about the hope that is within us. And if you are here today and you would like to pray with one of us, or if you are here and you would like to join Chestnut Hill Baptist Church, we're up here. Brother Todd.
Let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer fall.
its borrowed ray, that in thine sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, fairer be.
Well, thank you for being here. I pray that you'll meditate on the words that Mark shared with us this morning. God wants us all to be the good soil. God wants us all to bear fruit. Again, today is WMU Sunday. WMU stands for Women's Missionary Union, or at least it used to. I don't know. I think there's another name that goes around, but that's what it, and so we have two WMU groups here at the church. And so if you would like to be a part of those that gather once a month to discuss missions, to discuss what's happening in terms of missions, to be praying for the church, I'd encourage you to do that. And you can talk to either of the ladies here at the back, and they can help you get connected with one of our two WMU groups that we've got here in the church. This evening we've got our usual activities. Okay, we've got Awana, we've got our youth group, we've got adult Bible study. Those two happened at 5:30, and English writing as well, sorry. And then at 6 o'clock, we've got our adult Bible study. We're still looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. And then at 7 o'clock this evening, instead of handbells, we've got our family meeting. So if you're part of the church family, I encourage you to come out early and be part of one of those other activities, and then stay at 7 o'clock to be a part of the family meeting as well. So thank you for being here. Do you want to close out, or you want me to?
Go ahead. You're good.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. If you bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here, Lord. We understand that we can meet with you anywhere, anytime, that this is not your house. This is not where you dwell. You are enthroned in the heavens, Lord. The earth is your footstool. But this is a place that we have set aside to gather as the family of faith with one another, Lord, and before you, to worship you as a family. And so we thank you for this place. We thank you for this time. We thank you for one another. Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, I pray that you would guide our footsteps, Lord, that you would guard our hearts, Lord, that you would help us to live lives that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.